Welcome to Pigskins and Pageantry, a podcast dedicated to all things SEC football. My name is Wes, and I'd like to invite you to join me, Jesse, and Matt each week as we discuss last week's games, news from around the league, make predictions for the upcoming games, and much, much more. What's up, everybody? It's Wes. Uncertainty reigns in the SEC that no one can figure out, right? I know there's a lot of changes to the SEC landscape coming next year, but this year we've got the same 14 teams with no idea what is going on. Jesse, what is going on?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. What I can tell you is Hugh Freeze probably needs extra media training, and maybe Spencer Rattler does as well.
Maybe so. Matt, you seem like a guy with answers. What in the world is going on?
Hold the presses, guys. We just won the Super Bowl. No, I don't have any answers. I don't have answers for what things are, what they look like, how things are going. I am utterly confused, just like every other pundit in everything. So I'm just a floating head on the internet. I have no idea what's happening.
I hear you. Well, let's see if we can sort out some of the confusion, at least, by talking about some of these games and sorting out the outcomes. Let's go ahead and talk about them.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
All right, so the first game we'll talk about, Florida at Kentucky. Kentucky winning big in this one, 33-14. And I don't know about y'all, but we all saw that coming. So Matt gets the point, and as you can tell, he said that Kentucky was going to win 28-24. So, yeah. We didn't think it was going to be quite that lopsided. This one did get out of hand early for Florida, though, and they were reeling pretty much the whole time. Dominating performance by Kentucky up front, making holes for Ray Davis, and he had a day. Seemed like every time I turned around, he was having a carry for 10, 15 yards or something like that, like they could just run at will. So, yeah, they win, and Kentucky has won three in a row against Florida for the first time since 1948 to 1951. You know, last year we talked about historically bad with Texas A&M. This is along those lines. Jesse, let's start with you. What do you think about Florida at Kentucky?
I don't know that they're necessarily the A&M of last year. I think they're slightly better than that, just given they've had a couple wins and some really big ones. But I think for the most part, the Gators' defense really fell flat, which is not necessarily surprising, but they could not complete tackles on Saturday. It's been an issue that has, you know, shown itself in years past, but it seemed to kind of disappear the first couple of weeks of the season, but it came back with a vengeance. And it's some of those fundamental issues that Coach Napier was talking about when he did his press conference. And then, like you mentioned, I think this was Ray Davis's offense. He was all over the place. The Gators had no answer for him at all. He looked powerful. He had 26 carries for 280 yards and three touchdowns. He also caught one pass for 9 yards and found his way, you know, like I said, into the end zone. So great day for him. But if you are part of the Gator faithful, you want to see some defensive drills happening in practice this week.
Yeah, they need some of that Saban behind you there shouting something going on.
Anything.
Had to say something about that before the show got too far underway. So, Matt, what's your thoughts on this one?
Listen, I knew this was going to be a bit of a dogfight. I was not prepared for the absolute domination of the line of scrimmage that we saw out of Kentucky. To be completely frank with you, I'm scared to death to play Kentucky now because they – holy, and as if you in Wes, you should be worried about them too, because I think they got a chance this weekend. I really do. But have you a day, Ray Davis? Like, have you a day? I mean, he averaged 10.8 yards every touch. That's a first down. That first down every time he got a carry.
That's
so
wild.
That's a nutso stat. That's a nutso stat. I'm trying to figure out where this UT or where this Florida team was when UT played them. Because if they had given up the runs like that to UT, then Tennessee would be completely be fine. We'd be great. But wow. My question is, has this exposed Florida? Are we going to see them kind of start to kind of fall in on themselves going forward? I know if I'm a Florida fan, I'm hitting the panic button. Because, you know, a loss to Utah on the road, Florida historically the last couple of years has not been good. And then you come out and you trounce Tennessee like you did. Like, you'd anticipate that Florida's okay. But then when you get into conference play and they get demolished by Kentucky's run game, like, that's that does not bode well. Especially when you look at who they've got left on the schedule, because they've got their hands full, and it might be time to hit that panic button. I think Napier got a little bit of heat taken off the seat. I think it's right back on now.
Yeah.
Getting back to the things don't make sense, and it only continues as we kind of go to Texas A&M at Arkansas. A&M winning this one 34-22. Mac at the point here. And all the only note I have is apparently Texas A&M found their offense, because it's like we've been watching them, even with Petrino as OC, kind of struggling a little bit. But, you know, these past couple of weeks, and maybe Johnson is the answer. I don't know. Not to say that Wegman's not good, but they have seemed to be clicking with Max Johnson at the helm. But yeah, they had he had 210 yards in the air, two touchdowns. He did have a pick, and then Moss 107 yards on the ground. So Matt, what do you think about this? Is A&M clicking at just the right time?
This is again another team that Tennessee has to play later this season that I'm scared to death of right at this moment, because you know, we were convinced TAMU wasn't going to be anything special this year. Max Johnson, since he's gotten that starting job, has looked pretty dadgum solid. I don't know what that says about the coaching. It's kind of suspect that you get a guy come in and all of a sudden he's lighting it up. Why wasn't he starting to begin with? But I digress. He looked pretty solid in the pocket. The big story here, though, that I don't think is getting enough credit is, you know, KJ Jefferson's a heck of a football player. And he can move the ball when he needs to. Texas A&M had, I think, 7 sacks in this one. And that's a nutso sack or nutso stat that you're going to see in this one, because they were able to kind of bottle him up a little bit. Granted, you know, he didn't have a great day by any stretch. 9 for 17 for 132 yards and a tutty and an interception. That's not great. But you know, kudos to A&M for finding their offense. I hope they lose it again before they play Tennessee. And again, that defense was pretty dadgum stout. So if I'm an A&M fan, I'm feeling okay. But check back in a couple more weeks. We'll see if they can sustain this.
Yeah, Matt, I agree. That was the note that I had, was just the Aggie defense seemed to have found itself, woken up. They never let up on KJ Jefferson. I mean, pressure the whole time. He's somebody that is very mobile, has been known to move the ball as he sees fit, and he was constantly on the turf. I mean, like you said, 7 sacks. And you mentioned his passing, but he was -3 yards rushing on 18 carries. That is not something you see on the stat line for KJ Jefferson really ever. Their longest carry by any Razorback was KJ's 10 yard little scamper. Not something you necessarily see there, like I said. So that has to be very encouraging for Texas A&M. They've got their offense clicking potentially at the right time. You know, not anything bad against Connor Wegman. He can still be a great football player, but maybe he's just not the right guy behind center for the Aggies.
Yeah. Well, another team trying to find an identity on offense, Auburn, Georgia at Auburn here. Georgia winning this one, sort of. 27-20. Jesse gets the point here. And man, when I tell you a win that feels like a loss, like, good grief, like turnovers, losing the battle at the line of scrimmage, red zone touchdown efficiency, which, by the way, for the defense, I don't know if y'all saw the stat on Saturday. The past 2 years, Georgia has been like first and second, I think, in red zone touchdown efficiency percentage. We're like 112th in the country this year. So, like, it's not even close when you're putting you know, them up against teams of the past 2 years on the defensive side of the ball. Auburn wasn't supposed to have an identity on offense, but Georgia sure tried to help them find one. Georgia prepared for Peyton Thorne passing and Robbie Ashford running, but they didn't account for the fact that, well, Peyton Thorne can run too. And he had a big run early on in the game due to that as well. I feel like this Georgia team is just figuring things out as they go this year and trying to learn how to have some of that confidence, which, you know, there's not a lot of swagger, which, love him or hate him, Stetson Bennett provided a lot of. Brought that swagger of a guy with a chip on his shoulder and you know, celebrations. And, you know, I don't, it's just it kind of an intangible there. And I'm not saying that Beck doesn't have it, but we'll see. But then as the game went along, kind of once we kind of started getting the ball into Brock Bowers' hands, good things started to happen. And Georgia eventually pulled ahead. So, yeah, Georgia gets an ugly win here. It's in a hostile environment on the road in the SEC. And, you know, that's great. But look, if I'm being honest, like you said, Matt, undefeated Kentucky rolls into Athens next week, and I am not confident. So, Jesse, let's start with you again this time. What are your thoughts on Georgia at Auburn?
I mean, my first note, I'm not going to lie, says, damn it, Auburn, why couldn't you do this one thing for me?
No sign.
I don't expect anything from Auburn. I don't want anything from Auburn, but I wanted this. And they, once again, just couldn't do anything for me. But you mentioned red zone inefficiency on the dog side. To me, their run defense is, pardon the pun, rough. Rough. Mm-hmm. Auburn picked up 219 rushing yards.
I knew what you meant, for what it's worth.
Is the first time the Dogs have surrendered 200 rushing yards in a game since the 2018 LSU loss. It's a while. It's been a while. That day in LSU, they didn't come anywhere to leave close to leaving with a win in Baton Rouge. Very good LSU team. They were fortunate to get out of Jordan-Hare with a victory, but their run defense is a problem. And it's going to be a problem if we look back at that stat line we just saw from Kentucky. Ray Davis, buds.
Yeah.
It felt like far too much of a game, and UGA could not contain Auburn off the edge, and they were constantly chasing down the ball carrier. Again, that's going to be a problem going forward. They let Auburn stay in this game, and this was not a game that Auburn was supposed to be able to compete in. And they did. This is an offense that did not have any sort of identity. They seem to have found it a little bit, but I have to wonder how much of that is the UGA defense giving them more of an identity than they came in with. Georgia just isn't going to win a title again with a run defense that struggles like that against a team that isn't as high of a caliber as you would like in Auburn. So maybe Auburn can continue to build an identity off of, you know, their performance in this game. If I'm an Auburn fan, I'm very encouraged by this. But if I'm a UGA fan, like you said, I'm a little concerned going into Saturday.
Yeah, we knew that the Auburn defense was no joke. They've been pretty good for a lot of the season. But the offense was certainly a surprise. Matt, your thoughts on this one?
I would argue that Auburn was a little bit better than a little good. I think they had eight tackles for loss. It's hard to talk tonight, guys. During this game. And again, I think if this game's played at night, I think Auburn gets the dub here. I really do.
Something about the air pressure.
SEC stadiums at night are a completely different bear. They feel different. They hit different. They're louder. Looking at you, Neyland. There's just all sorts of things. So I'm really confused by this UGA team. Like, if you take Bowers out of the situation, I don't know if UGA's really got much offensively speaking. They can't really seem to come out like popping from the start, which means they'll probably do it against Tennessee. But they don't come out fast. They've come out flat in pretty much every game we've seen them play over the last couple of weeks. And that defense is going to be an issue if Kentucky gets a full head of steam on the ground. Bowers, again, continues to make a case for himself to be the number one draft pick when he finally comes out. I know tight ends usually don't go in the high part of the rounds, but I think he's making a pretty good argument for that. So if Bowers can stay healthy, if he can continue to put points up or put not points, but if he can put up yards and he can put up highlight reels like he's been putting, he's going to go pretty dadgum high. But again, where do we go from here? Well, Auburn's got to lick its wounds. I think they get a little bit of a moral victory from this because they went toe to toe with UGA for four quarters and only lost by a touchdown. But man, Georgia's got to figure something out. Kirby's going to have to start chewing on some rear ends, I guess, because I don't know what's going on in Athens.
Yeah, and like you said, it doesn't get any easier from here. So, all right, let's go to Mizzou at Vanderbilt, Missouri, winning this one 38-21. I got the point here. Mizzou really pulled away in this one, and though
yeah, Vandy, what the hell is happening with Missouri?
You know, though Vandy pulled within 10 twice in the fourth quarter, but Mizzou never really let them in the game. They pulled away once again for a comfortable win. Also, just a note here for Vandy, Ken Seals got the start at quarterback for Vandy with AJ Swan dealing with an injury. So, Matt, you pretty much already said it, but what are your thoughts on this one?
Missouri's undefeated. Missouri's beaten everybody they've played. They're 5-0.
Including what, some quality wins out of conference, too.
What sort of hellscape have we sunk into where Drinky is undefeated on the year so far? Does this mean he's turned Missouri into a contender? Does this mean that he's turned the boat around?
Don't get crazy.
I agree. Let's temper our expectations here, but it is Vandy. But at the same time, right, you kind of have to look at the way the East is scrambling out, and the top two teams so far have been Missouri and Kentucky. Georgia's looked beatable. Tennessee obviously has been beaten and looked beatable. Florida has looked beatable, incredibly. Yeah. Vandy is Vandy. Carolina, we'll get to Carolina. Like, the East makes no sense. It makes zero sense. I don't know why this East couldn't have existed last season. But again, maybe Drinky's found a way to make Missouri into a contender. I don't think so. We'll have to see how they do against LSU this weekend. I think that's going to be the real litmus test because, again, LSU's coming off a loss to Notre Dame – or not Notre Dame. Off a loss to – who did they play? I forgot.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah. Thank you. So they're coming off a loss to Ole Miss, so they're going to be licking their wounds a little bit. But I don't know if I want to live in a world where Drinkwitz is undefeated. I don't know if I want that. I really don't.
Jesse, do you think Mizzou can make a case for the East?
I don't know. I think – it was not a perfect day on defense for them, right? They did do enough to move to 5-0. Like we said, they're undefeated, which is crazy. But their pass defense was not great. Mizzou entered the game in the bottom half of the SEC in pass defense efficiency. And they didn't show too much improvement against the Commodores, to be honest. I mean, as a team, Vanderbilt averaged 7.8 yards per play in the second half. And much of that was in the passing game. And again, that's Vanderbilt, and that's not saying too much for Mizzou's pass defense when Vanderbilt is starting a backup quarterback. It's Vanderbilt and a backup quarterback, right? So he had a strong day, Seals did, throwing 259 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, and that was on 31 attempts. So yes, you're a Mizzou fan, you're feeling encouraged, you're 5-0, the East makes no sense, but also going into a game where they're going to play against Jaden Daniels, you're going to have to beef up that pass defense. I think we're seeing defensive struggles across the conference.
Yeah. Well, we don't play defense in the SEC. We haven't played defense in the SEC since like 2016. Like, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. With the morphing of the game.
The games of 7-3 for a final score are no longer here anymore.
We say that, but then we've had games where it's like 14-9 well, again. Right. You know, it makes
but that's been sense. That's been more about offensive struggles than it would be true. Prevalent.
Yeah.
True.
All right. Well, this was anything but offensive struggles. LSU at Ole Miss. Ole Miss winning this one 55-49. Nobody got the point here because we all went with LSU. But here's some stats. Both teams combined for 1,343 yards of offense and 14 touchdowns, with Jackson Dart throwing a 13-yard touchdown pass to Trey Harris with 39 seconds remaining to take the lead in this, you know, barn burner of a game where pretty much whoever had the ball last was going to win. basically. Dart accounted for 5 total touchdowns in this game, 4 passing and 1 rushing, including a nice hurdle. That wasn't the touchdown, but that was a part of his rushing during the game. I don't know if y'all saw that, him jumping over the player. Yeah, and so just like what a game, and in a game where we saw Ole Miss fans throwing trash on the field at one point and ultimately storming the field after the upset. Jesse, let's start with you. As someone who's a fan of a team in the West, what are your thoughts on this one?
I mean, I'm glad we've already played Ole Miss.
Right.
But I think that has something to do with it, right? Where you're going against Bama the week before, you lose to a Bama team that looked very beatable. And honestly, we've seen is, and Lane wasn't able to get it done. So this week, Jackson Dart delivered. Dart had 389 yards, 4 touchdowns on the game. He led the Rebels, you know, like you said, on a game-winning drive with less than a minute to go. That's very exciting. On the opposite side, LSU, again, tons of offense. If you wanted to watch a game that had offense, this is what you wanted to watch. But LSU had some sloppy defense. I mean, obviously, Ole Miss let them score a lot too. But to me, LSU's defense kind of stood out. They were very shaky in the first half. And Ole Miss made sure that they were going to capitalize on that. If there's one thing we know about Lane Kiffin, is he's going to make sure his offense is productive. And if you show any weakness on defense, he's going to capitalize on it. So in the first half, Ole Miss picked up nearly 400 yards of total offense and 31 points, which, you know, they don't put that kind of numbers up, especially against LSU. They have not put that kind of numbers up in the first half since 1998. Okay. LSU's offense was really good in the first half. They were also great throughout the game, and they should have gone into that break with a huge lead. But because the defense was not delivering, they trailed by 3 points heading into the second half. And they just ultimately, like you said, whoever had the ball last was going to win. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Tigers.
Yeah. And I shared it in our stories. I was just trying to look it up, but just LSU's comparison of how they stand in the country. I think their offense is what, like 4th in the nation or something like that, total offense, but their defense is like in the hundreds. It's like a total flip flop from offense to defense. Matt, your thoughts on this one?
I got a chance to watch the tail end of this one, and boy, it was just back and forth. LSU made it a valiant effort to see if they couldn't find a win here, and it just came up a little bit short. By the way, there were not one, not two, not three, but 4 wide receivers that had over 100-yard performances in this game.
I thought you were going to say mustard bottles that were thrown onto the field.
I'm going to come to that in just a moment. Just let's put a pin in that. But again, prolific offenses here. Jaden Daniels looks really good. You know, he went toe-to-toe with Jackson Dart, and this was 2 really good quarterbacks operating at a very high efficiency rating. Unfortunately, LSU comes up short. But kudos to Lane and the boys for getting the W, which, by the way, if we can, if you'll indulge me, let's have a talk really quickly, Ole Miss fans. So coming from a Tennessee fan, I just want to throw this out there. I don't want to ever hear, ever, never, ever hear you complain or bring up or discuss us throwing trash on the field ever again. Never. You're not allowed, because you're just as guilty. You've done it too. So shut up. Thank you. That's all I got.
Guys, throwing trash is trashy.
It is.
Yeah. I didn't agree with it when the Tennessee fans did it. I don't know why Ole Miss fans, I didn't see the call that resulted in it, but
2 wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. Wasn't that the, I think it was like a touchdown catch in the corner, and they thought that, I don't know, that he had bobbled it or that it had touched the ground. I don't know. It was one of those, but yeah, I mean, you're only hurting your team. When you do stuff like that, not to mention it's a bad look too, and you're only hurting yourself. So
also, I'm not one to rain on the parade, because I'm all for storming the field. I don't have an issue with it, but I understand if you'd like knock off like the number 2 team in the nation. Okay, fine. But this is an in-conference game. Yes, you beat a ranked opponent. Why are we rushing the field? And I don't know who the kid was. I don't know if y'all saw the video, but the kid that jumped, like climbed to the top of the, on the crossbar on the thing, and did like a swanton bomb onto the ground. Like, and like, you just, it's like, what are you doing, man? Like I get it. You did it for the clicks, but dear, just the stupidity, the sheer stupidity.
At least they didn't walk down the street with it again this time. When they beat Alabama, when I was in school, that's when they tore down the goalpost and you know, walked down the highway with it. But
well, there's a reason for that though, because historically, Ole Miss always had trouble beating Bama. So I mean, number three at the time, number two at the time, you were up there. I get that.
Oh, absolutely. And I get being excited. Don't storm the field. Do not walk down the highway with your goalpost.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, you know, man, I just can't get over the safety issue as well of storming the field. I get it. It's fun. Have fun. Not trying to be that guy.
Also, don't climb the goalpost. It's kind of high.
Bad idea.
Right.
Now, did y'all see the clip of the LSU? I think it was defensive tackle or somebody. Somebody got in his face with the phone and he just clobbered the guy.
No, I didn't see that.
That I understand.
But that's another thing that can happen.
But again, if you get in this big 6'6", 355-pound lineman's face and starts, oh, we beat you. It's like, dude, you're a biology major. Go sit down and shut up.
That's what we call assault. There's a difference between assault and battery. Assault is the actions that make another person believe that there is imminent bodily harm about to come to them. The battery is actually going through with the physical act of harming them. So you could be charged with assault.
And battery.
Right.
Only battery if you follow through. But I don't think that biology major got a chance to follow through.
My favorite clip from the after party, whatever you want to call it, was the dude who tried to headbutt in celebration the Ole Miss player.
Yes.
And just like bounced off of him. And I don't know how many beers he'd had at that point. It didn't seem like he felt CTE. It. He didn't act like he felt it, but you know he felt it the next day. So
my favorite thing is you'll go into class and be like, or go to the bar and be like, I got concussed last week. Oh my God, where? Yeah. Football game. You play for Ole Miss? Nah.
Nope. No.
I headbutted one though.
I headbutted a player with a helmet though.
Oh. And it was awesome. Oh. Got my clip all over Instagram. All right, let's move to South Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee winning big here, 41-20.
Wes, if I can interrupt, that's Super Bowl winner.
Yeah,
Super Bowl winner Tennessee.
I get the point because oddly enough, I was the only one to pick Tennessee. So I don't know what happened there.
Yep.
But
Matt is happy to be wrong.
You could tell Tennessee had a special focus for this game. You know, jumping ahead early and not getting complacent. It looked like they gave everything a little bit of extra effort in this one, probably because it was the Super Bowl. That's all I got. What do you got, Matt?
I want it stated unequivocally for the record that this was personal. Tennessee last season had a magical thing going with Hendon Hooker, with Jalen Hyatt, with just that whole team, and things were clicking along just great. You get a big win over Alabama. We looked good offensively, defensively, kind of suspect. Great season. And then we get to November, and Carolina puts the kibosh on it and completely ruins it. Hendon Hooker gets his ACL, MCL, TCL, LSL, all the different ligaments in his knee explode. And Carolina has obviously got there. This felt personal and it was personal. You know, and I think the guys kind of knew that. And if you had paid attention to Twitter in the days leading up to this game, there was a lot of back and forth between Vol Twitter and whatever. I'm never calling it that. There was just a lot of back and forth between Tennessee people and South Carolina people. And one of my good buddies is a Carolina fan. And I texted him. I said, hey, how are you feeling about this game? And he said, I think we'll probably be okay. Nope. Sorry. That was not the case. First off, I want to send out heartfelt condolences to Brew McCoy. A big injury. I don't know if y'all saw it, but it was bad.
Looked terrible.
I think it was like a dislocated knee or something. It was really bad.
His ankle, right? His ankle was completely the wrong way.
Yes. Yeah. It was a mess. So I think that's going to be an issue for UT's wide receiver core going down the line. Squirrel White had himself a game. Finally, I've been waiting for the Squirrel White coming out party, and we finally got it in this one. I think he had like 116 or 120 yards, including one of the craziest catches I've ever seen a wide receiver make in my life. UT's defense was lights out through most of this game. They had 6 sacks in this game, which is also equal to the number of touchdowns that Spencer Rattler ran off last year. So we kind of got a little bit of comeuppance on that. Carolina goes 2 for 15 on third down. Again, that kind of shows you exactly how good the defense has been playing. Tennessee actually leads the country in sacks right now, believe it or not. If you had told me that was going to be the shining star of our team this season, I'd have told you you're crazy. How many touchdowns does Joe Milton have? There's no chance that we're defensively sound, but we've looked pretty good. I had a friend of mine message me on Twitter. He said, "Do you think we've turned the corner? Do you think this is Tennessee is in good shape?" And I'm going to say maybe, because I'm not still sure, because I don't know if it was a night game in Neyland. It was a dark mode game, which, by the way, those unis look great. There were a lot of – it was a revenge tour for Carolina. There's a lot going on there. And I don't know if Tennessee's back. I don't know if Tennessee's going to be around the corner for this. It will be – it remains to be seen. I feel pretty good, although we've got an off week this week, and then we've got Texas A&M coming to us the week after. So it could be one of those things. All that being said, excellent effort by the boys. But one comment I do want to mention, and that's the reason for the confetti and the reason why we keep bringing up Super Bowls, is because Spencer Rattler decided to rattle off.
Wait
for it. Thank you. He decided to rattle off at the mouth and said, you know, congrats to them. This is their Super Bowl. It came off as sour grapes. I didn't like it. I don't have anything against Spencer Rattler. I think he's a heck of a football player. But it kind of shows, you know, you're better than that, Spencer. Just you lost. Take the L with some grace. Let's move on. It didn't feel right. It didn't look good. And I didn't care for it personally.
Jesse, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have too much to add. I think just, you know, you can look at the stat line here and really see the difference in these two teams. There was, even with two turnovers, Tennessee still clearly stomped them. And when you look at first downs, 11 first downs for South Carolina, 24 for Tennessee. That's insane. And Matt's already talked about their inability on the Gamecock side to actually, you know, convert on third down. And that's a huge deal. I think, unfortunately, I don't know the identity of this South Carolina team. You know, they show us so much positive looks and grit and tenacity in some games. And then in other games, we don't see it. Not to say that, you know, players like Spencer Rattler, who was still pretty effective despite throwing an interception, you see that. But I think as a whole, I don't know what their identity is. And I want to. And I think I see glimpses of it. But at the end of the day, I don't have enough definitive evidence on any side to tell you who they are. And I don't know that they do either. And I'm not saying that Beamer's seat is hot. He's won some of those bigger games that they weren't expected to win. And I think that helps. But I also have to wonder, if from a recruiting aspect, when things are going to get better for them. Columbia is not necessarily one of those places that's very easy to recruit to, especially even in state when you have someone like Clemson that you can also recruit to. You have colleges like, you know, the College of Charleston and things like that. So I don't know. I have a lot of question marks for Carolina.
Sounds a lot like Georgia, doesn't it?
We'll bet.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That whole, we're not sure what the story is very similar.
Carolina doesn't have the recent natties to hang their hats on like Georgia.
They don't have any natties, come think of it. Not a single one. They don't even have a conference championship.
Yeah.
I'll stop.
No, you're good. And we'll talk a little bit more about Beamer later. All right, the next game, Alabama at Mississippi State, Bama winning this one 40-17. I got the point here. This one not really close. Despite getting their first passing touchdown against Alabama since 2014, which was Dak Prescott, Mississippi comes up short against the Tide.
One-yard pass.
Yeah. This is the 16th straight time that they've lost to the Tide. So, this one got out of control early. Nice. Favor Bama. And that never really changed. Jesse, what were your thoughts on your Alabama Crimson Tide.
Like you said, we extended the win streak against Mississippi State to 16 games after the Bulldogs won in 06 and 07. They have not won since. And again, like you said, it was the first passing touchdown a Mississippi State quarterback has thrown since Dak Prescott. And again, 1 yard in the third, but whatever. This was kind of ugly. It got ugly. If you're a Mississippi State fan, if you're a Bama fan, I'm feeling a little better, right? But we outscored the Bulldogs. And in our entire kind of matchup against them, historically, we've outscored them 535 to 133, including Saturday's win. But we finally got a non-offensive touchdown. How fun. We've been waiting. Yay. We attempted 13 passes. I say we. I didn't play. Alabama attempted 13 passes, and we ran the ball 43 times. That is a ratio we have not seen at Alabama in quite a long time. Honestly, since I was a new student there, it's been a really long time since we've really pushed the run game like that. I would say, honestly, probably since Derrick Henry. I don't know that we've done it since him that much. We've had a little bit more of an even ratio just given the quarterbacks that we've had behind the center. But Jace McClellan continued to be successful running the ball along with Roydell Williams. They were a really dynamic combination there for us on the ground. McClellan rushed for, 63 more yards on Saturday night on 15 carries. Roydell Williams, second option, but still very good, racking up 44 yards on 10 carries. However, red zone struggles. I think we're right there with UGA in our red zone struggles because we got into the red zone 4 times and punched in 2 touchdowns. 2 for 4 is not where we want to be when it comes to getting in the red zone and converting on a touchdown. It's just not. I think realistically, had we been more successful, this game looks a lot uglier than it does right there. Our saving grace is our sweet baby angel, Will Riker, who is our kicker. And he's almost, knock on wood, automatic for us. He's perfect. 11 for 11 on field goal attempts. Thank you, sweet baby Lord Jesus, for Will Riker. But we got to get better in the red zone. Offensive struggles, not okay. Defense did a great job. Offense, it's the best we got right now.
Yeah. You know, that no passing touchdown against Alabama since 2014 is made even more bizarre when you consider that this offense has been the air raid for the past few years,
right?
Focused on passing, and it just hasn't happened.
But Bama's pass rush in the past couple seasons has been great, and we have no identity. We have no one that I would consider excellent pass rush on defense.
That's fair too. Matt, your thoughts on this one?
By the way, I was expecting Bama to win this game, but I didn't think they would look this good. I felt like it was 2015 all over again. We had old angry Nick screaming screaming at everybody on the sideline.
We got angry Nick back.
Yeah, he's apparently canceled his subscription to whatever meditation service he was using on his phone. He has thrown away all of his Buddhist monk recordings of them chanting and doing singing glasses and whatnot. Like, he's just, it's old Nick. He's had his little Debbie snack cake, and he's going to scream at you until you play right football. So, again, I'm glad Bama's showing signs of life. I need them not to do it in October, though. I need them to go back to being kind of awful. Because,
well, Miss Terry said that Nick was going to have to choose them behind.
You know why? Because she said, hey, listen, you're done after this year. You better get it in now. I told you, Miss Terry, to pull the string. She's already pulled the string.
We all knew Miss Terry ran that house. She's lovely. And he even said, she told me that I had to get after him. And he did. So now people have started making shirts that say, Miss Terry make Nick mean again. And those are for sale online.
Yeah. And by now
Jalen Milroe looked like he scrambled pretty well in a couple of those.
He looked better.
So yeah. He definitely is showing some progress. We'll see if it sticks.
Now I just have this vision of Nick Saban deleting the Calm app from his cell phone. So, all right. Well, that does it for the games from last week. Current pick 'em standings. I've got 21. Matt has 19. Jesse has 11. And still a long ways to go for sure. But yeah, like I said, that's all the games from last week. Let's go ahead and get into some fun opinions.
Sir, if I may venture an opinion.
I'm not really interested in your opinion, 3PO.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Wes, you don't need to have a smile that big for this segment.
This first one is sure to get some reaction. Should every SEC team be ranked? Kirby Smart recently said, I personally think every SEC team should be ranked. I can guarantee you that there are some teams that don't want to play them that are ranked. Every team we play in the SEC is good enough to beat us, and whether they're ranked or not, I could care less. Now, granted, I think this might be in response to a reporter's question about, you know, teams that they've played and who can beat them and blah, blah, blah. So I think he's building up the SEC. I get where he's going, but he raises an interesting point. What do y'all think? Jesse, what do you think?
No. The short answer, no.
Yeah.
Long answer, there's not a world that Vanderbilt is ranked in the top 25 in football, right? I don't see it. I think it's fantastic media training, and whoever within the UGA communications department that trained him did a fantastic job, and congratulations to you that it stuck, because you're touting up the conference and you're making it look like a team in Auburn that should have not competed looks maybe better than they are. You're hoping people buy into that Kool-Aid? No, absolutely not. I do not agree with that. I think, unfortunately, as much as I would and have historically said, like, absolutely any team in the SEC could probably beat those ranked from other conferences, I don't see that this year.
It's fair. Matt?
I agree with part of this. I think there are teams in the SEC that there are other conference teams that don't want any business playing them. Like you get those like top third teams in other conferences. Even if you take those top third teams from like the Big 10, the Big 12, what's left of the Pac-2, all that, if you take them and kind of have them against that mid pack for the SEC, I think the mid pack of the SEC does okay. Historically speaking, maybe not this season, but historically, yes. So do it. But again, I agree with Jesse. The concept of every SEC team being ranked is just ludicrous.
When we look at Arkansas's loss to BYU, Florida's loss to Utah,
badly.
LSU lost to Florida State. The one that's been successful out of conference is Mizzou.
Yeah.
Who went to the
no
loo.
Doubt. No, yeah, they did. They did go to the loo to beat Memphis.
Oh, wait, we better stop. That guy's going to jump on TikTok and yell at us again. So let's just go ahead, cut that segment.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what this is. This is coach speak. And,
oh, yeah. And Alabama lost to Texas.
Yeah.
Badly. Right. Yeah, that one too. Yeah, this is absolutely coach speak. And exactly what you said, Jesse, you know, touting the conference. And this is exactly what every coach does most of the time. But this one, I think, might have got a little more attention. Every team being ranked, definitely not. Now, do I think that they could probably, you know, go toe-to-toe with some other teams? Sure. But I don't know about every team being ranked. But, yeah, it's a good job of touting the conference and kind of building yourself up in the process with this kind of statement. So, all right, opinion number two. And, Matt, you're the one who kind of raised this one. Through their first 31 games at South Carolina, Will Muschamp went 18-13. And Shane Beamer has gone 17-14. So with those kind of comparisons, what do we think? Like, is Shane Beamer, are we putting him on the level with Muschamp and possibly even worse? Matt, you brought it up. What do you think?
I made this same sort of thing with Kirby Smart a couple of years ago and Mark Richt. So I'm going to not say this is the case and this is accurate, but it does, the numbers do kind of, they do kind of stack up very, very similarly. The only key difference there, I think, is I don't think Will Muschamp ever had some marquee wins like Beamer has had, a win over Clemson, a win over Tennessee when they're ranked number two or number three in the nation. I don't think Muschamp ever put that much together. So with that being said, if the numbers continue to trend that way, then we can expect Shane Beamer to get his walking papers in a couple of years, a la Will Muschamp. But again, I think Shane Beamer's just been very fortunate in the press that he's gotten. I think they're probably the same caliber coach, though.
Okay. It's bold. Jesse?
Yeah, I think it's – I don't agree with it at this moment. I also do not think that, despite me not knowing the identity of the Gamecocks, I think the culture at South Carolina – is better under Beamer than it was Muschamp. Muschamp, regardless of where he went as a head coach, the culture was not good. I mean, look at Florida, look at South Carolina. It was not a good culture. It didn't seem like the players had a ton of admiration or respect for him. And I think in Columbia, they do for Shane Beamer. I also think we're just in a different era of football in general, where someone like a Shane Beamer is going to try their best and has already to an extent capitalized on the transfer portal. And that's potentially going to help them going forward to get a better record. Like Matt said, they've already had some of those really big marquee wins that I don't think Muschamp had either. So there's a chance that he's going to be better, but I do think it's just too soon to make that determination.
Yeah, and I'm also trying to think of the status of the East when Muschamp was there, too. I feel like it was a little bit weaker than it is now. Granted, this year is a little bit of a different beast, but, you know, at least in the past couple of years, it feels like it's been better, and Beamer's had to go against that. So, you know, I don't know. I think he's a little bit better of a coach, and to your point, the culture is a little bit different as well. Muschamp is a great coordinator, and we like him at Georgia, and it would be nice for him to stay. So we'll see. All right. We're really opinionated this week. So opinion number three. So Hugh Freeze was quoted after playing Georgia saying, "I'll miss playing Georgia every year." A little bit of a slip there, perhaps. He's since walked back on those comments, saying that he was just talking about all the changes that are going to be happening with new teams coming into the SEC. So, you know, trying to maybe save face a little bit there. What do we think about losing potential rivals? What do y'all think? Because it's a big thing. Anybody?
It is. I have a feeling, and I don't know this for sure because I don't know how they're going to work through all this, but there's some of those just like marquee rivalries that I just don't think you lose. I mean, I really don't. I like for Alabama and Georgia, we don't play each other every year, and we don't have to unless we go to the conference championship. But we do play Auburn, we do play Tennessee, you know, and that's just what's going to happen. Georgia finds a way to play Georgia Tech every year, despite the fact that it's not really a rivalry much anymore. I think that they're going to have to figure out a way scheduling wise to make sure that these rivalries get played. Otherwise, they are going to have a revolt.
Yeah.
SEC fans are not patient people. They are not necessarily gracious. Revolt.
Right. Well, especially when you're talking about over 100 years of history in some of these cases, Deep South's oldest rivalry. I can't imagine not playing Auburn every year. Even though at this point it's cross division, next year will be different, obviously. And like you know, for you two, I can't imagine, you know, Tennessee not playing Bama, right?
This is Saturday in October.
Become a fixture. And like, what do you do?
Cigar sales will plummet. Think of the cigar industry.
Right. Matt, what do you think?
This is a newer brand of SEC football we're getting ready to get into. You've got a lot of different competing interests in what's going on here. I don't see anybody that's going to okay the concept of killing off historical rivalries. Now, for example, let's use Alabama, Tennessee. That is a rivalry that there's no chance in hell that they're ever going to find a way to not put on TV. That's not going to happen. That will be on the schedule every single year. Georgia, Florida will be on the schedule every single year. Then you get into that second tier of rivalry games, and I don't know if those necessarily make it, like Auburn, Georgia. That is a rivalry game, but is it on the same level as Georgia, Florida, or Tennessee and Bama? Not necessarily. I wouldn't say so.
I mean, it's the oldest. It is. 1894, I think, or something like that.
And I hear you, but I just don't see – that's not going to get eyes on TV on a TV channel. It will in the South, but outside of that, I don't know if it's really going to move the needle with most people in the other parts of the country. So I think you're going to look at those secondary rivalry games, kind of like Battle for the Boot, like LSU and Arkansas. Okay, yeah. I think the Egg Bowl is also another one that kind of fits in that secondary rivalry spot that may not necessarily make it if the way the new conference alignment is going to look. I don't know. I think you're going to keep the big marquee ones. I don't think they go.
This is always going to play Oklahoma. When they get in the SEC,
yeah,
that's going to be played.
Right. But I can tell you right now, like Tennessee Vanderbilt every year, I don't see that making it. That's not much of a rivalry to begin with.
I think Vanderbilt's okay with that.
Yeah, and I don't think we have our own issues with Vanderbilt by itself, but you're gonna have to find a way to get all those games in. And I can tell you how to do it right now. I've already said what we need to do here. You get one tune-up game against an FCS lower division team at the beginning of the year. Every other game from there on out is game conference. Boom. So
like,
done.
Like a 2020 almost.
Yeah. Only
in conference.
That was a great year for the SEC. The football games we got in 2020 were fantastic. All those six people were at the games. Right. But they were still really good games. I don't know. I never have understood why we do this whole, let me play three guys in my conference and then I'm going to pop in a UT Martin. Why am I playing two more games and then playing like Southeast Dakota State? Like, why? What are we playing those? I know that there's a secondary whole little economic system within college football where those teams need that money. And I get that, but I just keep it in conference. Why are we bothering with the market with matchups outside of that?
With an expanded playoff, that may help with that too. Cause I think they worry a lot too, that their record will be affected, but with an expanded playoff, you should be able to kind of combat that. But I agree. I think you have to kind of cut out some of those out of conference games. And it's not just the SEC that's going to be facing this, right? Like it's the Big Ten. Every other conference is gaining more teams. And they are going to have to figure this out. I mean, they've already busted up some of those in-conference rivalries that existed within the back two, but they're going to have to figure it out.
Also, you add an interesting dynamic by adding these teams and doing away with divisions. And that somebody brought this up the other day, and that's the fact that it is possible for Bama and Auburn to play each other for the SEC championship because it's the top two teams against each other. So how wild would that be? Since there's no more divisions. But it is possible. So it's just an interesting dynamic that is that happens when you do away with divisions like that. So,
and you're going to throw another monkey wrench into the plan when you add Clemson in a couple of years.
Stop it! No,
they're coming. They're already coming in. No. They're going to bring in Clemson. They're probably going to bring in Florida State. We'll just be at 18 teams, and it'll be fine.
The ACC already has like a million teams in it anyway.
The USA Conference.
Yeah.
It's just all the teams, everybody together.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, everybody.
Look, if you want someone to blame for this, call Greg Sankey. It's his fault. The whole thing's his fault. I blame him for it.
Man, can you imagine the teams on the East Coast that have to play Hawaii? Of course, I guess Vandy did it. Anyway.
Yeah, that didn't end well. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for opinion. Let's move to a quick listener feedback segment.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, so the biggest takeaways. So Janet says her biggest takeaway is that Bama needs a good center. Roll Tide. So,
amen.
Yeah. Another one, and this is interesting. So Jody says Mississippi State needs a mobile quarterback in that offense. I mentioned that on, in response to that response to our question in the story on Instagram. I mentioned we saw Mike Wright in certain situations, and he certainly brings a dynamic that defenses have to account for. I tagged Mike Wright in that, and he viewed the story. I'm sure he's wanting to get more reps on offense. What do y'all think? I mean, has Will Rogers' performance warranted replacement? Do we want to see a mobile quarterback in that Mississippi State offense? Well, it's just interesting to think about.
It's a different offense than it was. It's not the air raid, not, and as we mentioned, you know, at least against Bama, the air raid wasn't successful. So I don't know. I think this Mississippi State team is about to reestablish a new identity, and who is at the helm of that? Not sure.
Matt?
Again, at this point, what's Mississippi State's record right now? They're 2-3, I think. They're not. It's not great.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it might be time to start looking at some other ways to get around and convert some first downs and whatnot. And if the offense pops with him, sure. Why don't you ride with him? Quarterback controversies are always fun for us, but you know they can be hell on a team. So you just got to be real careful about that.
I've liked Mike Wright even when he was at Vandy. I think the problem is, I just don't feel like Will Rogers is, like I said, like his performance hasn't really warranted that yet. Now, when you get in certain game situations, does it make more sense to put Wright in? Sure. Especially, you know, goal line type stuff where, you know, dual threat and everything like that. But overall, no, I don't think the starting job is warranted a competition here. So, or at least making a switch. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the upcoming games.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
And so another primarily SEC schedule this upcoming weekend, so that's pretty exciting. First off, we have LSU at 3-2, 2-1 in the SEC at Missouri, 5-0, 1-0 in the SEC. That is noon on ESPN. Missouri has called for a blackout against LSU there at home at Mizzou, so we'll see what happens. Matt, what is your prediction for LSU at Missouri?
We've been asking the question, is Missouri for real? And I think this is the game where we find out that Missouri is, in fact, a paper tiger. So I'm going to go ahead and say that LSU wins this game, 38-13.
All right. LSU is only favored by 6 here. And I think that they have cause to be concerned. As a Georgia fan in the East, I'm concerned. I think this is an absolutely wild nail biter of a game. And I'm going Mizzou.
What?
35-31. It's a close one. Not 331.
He's going with Drinky. A color me shit. Look at me and Jesse's faces.
I just got a feeling, man. I don't know what it is. We'll see. Jesse, what do you think?
The Tigers will win.
Yes.
I think despite the fact that LSU had some very sloppy defensive play this past week, I think they're very annoyed at that. I believe they will start to clean up some of that. And I think, like Matt said, this is really going to be that true litmus test for Mizzou. If it were in Death Valley, I'd be 1,000% sure on LSU. It is not, but I'm still going to go with LSU on this one because I just don't know, and I know Missouri's defense has been pretty good, but I just don't know that they've seen an offense like LSU yet. And I don't know that LSU's defense is going to hold Mizzou very well, but I think their offense is going to get it done for them. So I'm going to pick LSU in this one, 31-21.
Yeah. I mean, the way that LSU defense has been, Brady Cook might be throwing for 5 touchdowns. I don't know.
God, all right. Help us. I don't want to live in a world where Drinky is successful. I just don't want to.
Like, this is not going to be 2015.
Oh, right.
We don't need a repeat of that. No.
I mean, I liked it. We won a natty, but no.
Yeah. All right. Next is Western Michigan 2-3 at Mississippi State 2-3 noon on SEC Network. I think this is the only out of conference game for the SEC this week. Matt, your prediction for Western Michigan and Mississippi State?
A directional school? Really? Really?
Yeah, I should have done a deep dive into the mascot. I forgot. Oh, well.
They're the Broncos, I think. Yeah. I know their colors are like brown and yellow. So
beautiful.
Yeah, just wonderful school colors there, Michigan. Don't you know? I'm gonna say Mississippi State's gonna win this one 24-10.
All right, yeah, I'm going Mississippi State as well, 38-17. Jesse.
Yeah, I have confidence in the Bulldogs on this one, so I'm gonna pick Mississippi State 28-12.
Okay. All right, next, Alabama 4-1, 2-0 in the SEC. At Texas A&M, 4-1, 2-0 in the SEC. That is 3:30 on CBS. This is a big game. Matt, what's your prediction there? What you got for Alabama at Texas A&M?
Listen, if this had been Bama 2 weeks ago, I'd say, yeah, A&M's probably got this locked up, no problem. But after Bama came out last week, and you can look at Jesse's window and see that we've got old Nick back. So I'm going to – I really want to pick A&M here because it is in A&M, but I'm going to go Bama. I'm going to say Bama wins 35-28.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So this one is shaping up to be even more exciting than the past couple of matchups for Bama. They are favored by the slimmest of margins. I think it was by 2 the last I saw. May have changed. I don't know. Unfortunately, for the Tide, they've shown some weaknesses, and A&M is seeming to get some things figured out on offense lately. So I know we've got Angry Saban back, and maybe I should have.
Oh, my God, he's going to do it.
Maybe I should have figured that in, but I'm going with A&M in this one. And another exciting one, A&M 24-21. And so this is either going to be a great week for me or a terrible week for me
Wes,
in the pick'em.
Where are you keeping these gigantic testicles that you're walking around with? Right,
dude,
now?
It's Lord, weird. Son. I can't shake, like, I have a feeling. Like I watch these, you know, I see the odds and all that stuff, and then I try to figure, you know, put my own spin on it. And
yes, don't listen to him. Wes got Marty McFly to hop in the DeLorean and get that little book that tells you all the stories. 2020 to 2020.
Like I said, I could be completely wrong. And if so, it's not going to be a good week for me in the pick 'em. Jesse, what do you got?
If you're right in this one, it's not going to be a good week for you and your household. number one. But I resent that pick. although I'm not going to say that it's completely unfounded. So if this were a night game in Kyle Field, I'd be feeling a lot more nervous. And not to say I'm not feeling extremely nervous, because I am. Now that they have somebody else behind center, things seem to be going okay. Don't like that. So I hope that Nick Saban honestly just holds on to all of the road rage that he's built up on the way to practice. I hope that his he doesn't really use the internet. I hope that the store ran out of little Debbie oatmeal cream pie.
Wow. Are you trying to kill the man, Jesse?
I hope there is so much anger and frustration in him that he brings it all down to Texas and that Bama is victorious in a very close one, I think. But I'm picking the Tide. 28-27. Make Nick mean again.
All right. Well, like I said, shaping up to be an exciting one. Next, Vanderbilt 2-4, 0-2 in the SEC at Florida, 3-2, 1-1 in the SEC, 4:00 on the SEC Network. Matt, your prediction, Vandy at Florida. Are you okay?
I mean, obviously Florida's got to win this, right? It's at Florida. Oh, wait, Wes, move your thing. I can't see my score.
Oh, as I say, you already put a score there.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Let me move. There we go.
There we go. Florida should win this. Should. The operative term. So I'm going to say they win. Vanderbilt's not looked good, so going to pick Florida 28-14. But again, with the weird crap that's been going on in the conference, who knows? And Wes, I swear to God, if you do some silly crap and pick Vanderbilt, I'm quitting.
I said, I've just had a weird feeling this week. Oh, Florida's looked very beatable. And I'm just kidding. I can't do it for this one. So, Vandy has struggled. Okay.
On your wife. We got to check on you.
Like it feels like Vandy took a step back from last year, which wasn't great, but at least seemed like they were
transfers.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right when it comes to that. So, yeah, I'm going with Florida here. I'm going Florida 35-17. Jesse.
Florida didn't look great last week. Vanderbilt tried to hang with Mizzou. So I think obviously the Gators are going to win this one, but I think that Vandy does their hardest to put up a little bit of a fight. So I'm going to pick the Gators in this one a little bit closer, 24-17.
All right. Okay. Here we got Kentucky 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC at Georgia, 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Matt, do your worst. What do you got? I love it.
Pick'ems this year are dang near impossible because
no kidding.
There's so much variance and you just, I'm going to say Georgia wins this thing. I think it's a night game in Sanford. That's the only thing I got. If Bowers is able to get more than 100 yards, they win this thing. I'm going to say Georgia wins 24-20.
Okay. Georgia's favored by 14.5, but ain't no way.
Why?
Not after last week. Not in my mind anyway. We did get Javon Bullard, Ladd McConkey, and Kendall Milton back last week, and no additional injuries occurred. So that's good from that standpoint because the injury bug has been bad for Georgia this year. We're going to have to stop Ray Davis, as we've already mentioned on the show, and force Devin Leary to beat us with his arm. So, I mean, I think you just almost have to stack the box and then just let the passes, you know, fly, and we'll see what happens. I think being at home helps, but I still think it's closer than they expect. I'm going UGA, but I'm going a little bit closer, 31-21. Jesse.
Not so fast, my friends.
She's doing it.
I'm picking the Cats.
Oh my God.
I'm picking the Cats.
I don't blame you. For the record, I don't blame you.
I was encouraged by what I saw last week. And knowing that Georgia's defense has struggled against the run, yes, it helps to be at home, but there's only so much the 12th man can do. And I know they're not the home of the 12th man, but there's only so much that they can do. I think they're going to struggle against Ray Davis. And I think the moment that Kentucky figures out how to shut down Brock Bowers, it's over. So if someone can do that, and I don't know why no one's figured it out, because we know the ball's going to go to him.
He's Brock Bowers. Have you seen the guy play football? Really, I mean, my God.
Very successful. We'll take him on the Patriots. but I'm going to pick the Cats in a very close one. And it's going to be ridiculous if this actually comes to like fruition. But I'm picking the Cats 33-31.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, I think.
There will be some property destroyed in Athens that night if
they will burn Lexington to the ground, even if it's away.
There will be so many couches on fire.
Remember, they almost burned it to the ground a couple years ago when they beat Florida.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, now that's kind of become old hat for Kentucky.
Yeah, that's beating Florida. What's that? Yeah. That old thing?
Yeah.
Kentucky fans, just be careful.
Must be nice.
True. It's true. All right. Lastly, Arkansas 2-3, 0-2 in the SEC at Ole Miss, 4-1, 1-1 in the SEC, 7:30 on SEC Network. Matt, your prediction, Arkansas at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, I don't foresee Ole Miss having a whole lot of trouble here. Arkansas hasn't done a whole lot to inspire confidence. And they've shown that if you could shut down KJ Jefferson, if you could shut down the run game, they can't do a whole lot. So I'm going to pick Ole Miss here, 42-28. By the way, before we move on, though, I need to talk to the Arkansas people. I don't know why y'all are talking about firing Sam Pittman. I need you to chill. I need you to calm down. Because there's been a lot of talk on Twitter over the last couple weeks. They've been calling for his head already.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It's just like, guys, relax. Okay. It's going to be fine. Let the man cook. It's something. It is a thing.
Yeah. Well, y'all are killing me here. I'm doing it to myself, but Arkansas desperately needs a conference win. Wes. And Ole Miss is in the perfect spot for a hangover game after that big win against LSU last week. It makes sense, right? Watch out for Arkansas here. That, you know, when your back's against the wall kind of thing. I'm going Hogs 34-31.
Wes!
Wes, you're unwell.
I don't know.
I need you to get on the horn with your sister, aka his wife, and find out what the heck he's been drinking.
You're unwell.
You know, this is just me. There's something wrong with me. I don't know.
Do I need to call the family?
It's all good. We'll see. We'll see after this weekend.
It doesn't seem all good.
Yeah, Wes, this is erratic behavior. I'm very
it concerned. Is. It's very uncharacteristic, but you know, I just have a feeling, like I said.
Why?
I don't know. I can't explain. That's the thing. I can't explain it. We'll see.
Maybe the soup you had is messing with your gut.
That could be it. There was a lot of cream cheese in there.
Food can do that sometimes. It completely throws off your brain chemistry, and then you start doing really, really weird irrational.
Gut health is important health. It's brain health.
It's true. Although I can't even use that excuse. Truth be told, I kind of thought of these this afternoon. So I don't know. I don't know what to attribute it to.
What was for lunch?
Stuffed jumbo shells with ricotta cheese. So,
well, there you go. I don't know what ricotta cheese is. I know what ricotta cheese is, but ricotta, that's probably something. It's probably vegan.
When you don't know how to pronounce something, you just pronounce it with confidence, like you know how it's pronounced, and then see what happens. So,
well,
like Giada De Laurentiis, who's like speaks super normal, and then she's like ricotta.
And that girl is like, have you ever noticed, like, you really look at a picture of her, and you're like Giada has like 96 teeth.
Yeah.
She has more teeth than a shark. Like, she's teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of sharks, land sharks.
Nice. Thanks. A way to tie it back into. I don't know how that happened, but good job.
I don't know. I think Jackson Dart had a day last weekend. And I think, like Matt said, you can shut down KJ Jefferson. You really shut down most of Arkansas. Let's not forget, Arkansas has been plagued with penalties at home. You go into a foreign environment, that doesn't get any easier. I imagine Arkansas is going to suffer from several self-inflicted penalties. Lane Kiffin's going to be cooking up the good stuff on offense. And I just don't think that the Hogs have it on this one, unfortunately. So I'm picking Ole Miss 48-21.
Yeah, probably smart. I don't know. Arkansas back against the wall.
I swear, if West
Ole Miss do for right,
it's already written stone. He's probably got all these right.
Watch me go kind of halvesies with it though, and then it'll kind of backfire. So
we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. So yes, that does it for the upcoming games. South Carolina, Auburn, and Tennessee enjoy a bye week this week, so they'll get back into things next week. That does it for the episode. We appreciate everyone listening. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at pigskinsandpageantry@gmail.com. We are at Pigskins and Pageantry on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. And on X or Twitter, as Matt insists on calling it, at PPSEC Podcast. Don't forget we're available for download on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn Radio, and most podcasting apps for iPhone, Android, and other operating systems. Although a lot of our interaction has come through TikTok and YouTube. So we really appreciate everyone getting involved there and watching. Really appreciate that. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and review. 5 stars. We'd greatly appreciate that. Again, SEC makes no sense, which maybe explains why I'm making no sense today. But until next time, this is Wes. Go Dogs.
This is Terry. Continue to make Nick mean again. Roll Tide, beat the Aggies.
I'm going to repeat that too. Hopefully beat the Aggies in 2 weeks. We get a bye week. Happy thoughts for you, Brew. Good luck in that recovery. Ugh, that was a nasty injury. Go Vols.